I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace, where changemakers work, create, and lead.
Yes, Jesus. Come on, you can praise Him. Come on, you can praise Him. Hallelujah. God, we, your people, are going to be obedient. As you decree, let everything that have breath give you the praise and give you the glory. Yes, God. We're so unworthy, Lord, but we stand in your presence. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is the air.
This is the air.
Come on, the very air we breathe. He gave it to us, we didn't buy it. Come on, tell me. Come on, lift your hands to Him and tell Him. It's your presence, Lord, your Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us, leading us and guiding us into all truth. Thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you for the gift. And not only that, when we talk about your word, it's my daily bread. It's what I long for.
This is my day.
And God, you said, he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled.
This is my day.
This verse just says, your very word. Come on, tell him today.
Your very word.
Come on, say, spoken. So this is the part that I love to declare. It says this, and now listen to these words. It says, I'm desperate for you. Is there anybody here you just don't want him, but you're desperate for him? You've got to have him. Sing it to him again. And now I'm lost without you, Jesus. Lord, I was lost, God, once in the world, but now that you changed me, I've got to have you. Come on, sing this with us again. This is the air I breathe. Come on, I want you to sing it with us. This is the air I breathe. And because you sent your Holy Spirit, Lord, thank you that it is. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, living in me as you are, Jesus. It's living in me, hallelujah. I'm connected to you and you're connected to me. And I tell you today that this is my daily bread.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah, Jesus. This is my daily bread. Yes, it is, Jesus.
This is my daily bread.
Lord, it is the truth of your word that you've given us. Spoken to me. And if you're desperate for him, I want you to lift your hands and tell him. Come on, tell him, I'm desperate for you, Jesus. Come on, if you're desperate for him, lift both hands to heaven and open your mouth in here. Tell him together. And I. Your presence. We need to have you there, Lord. Come on, sing it again. And I
I'm desperate for you.
I need you, Lord. Every hour I want you, Jesus. Yes, I do it. Nothing without him and you'd be lost. I want you to lift your hands right now and tell him this is the air I breathe. Breathe it in. Come on, he's given us the Ruach breath, the creative breath of God, as he did Adam in Genesis.
This is the air.
Oh, Jesus. Come on, just breathe in now. Breathe in the air that he's given.
This is the air.
Oh, this is the air I breathe.
This is the air I breathe.
Come on, say it again. This is the air.
This is the air I breathe.
Come on, come on, come on. You drop out, group. I want to hear the sing it, sanctuary. Come on, congregation.
This is the air I breathe.
Come on, come on, sing it in this sanctuary. Come on, sing.
This is the air I breathe.
Yes, Lord. Come on, say it again.
This is the air I breathe.
Olorun kan. Olorun to da wa. Ese o Jesu. Ese o Jesu.
There's a peace.
There.
there's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes.
Jesus has
some who don't understand our purpose and may not understand our praise. We as a family in Jesus' name would like to tell you the reason why we sing. Family. Because I'm happy.
I sing because I'm happy.
I sing
because I'm free.
His eyes on
me. His eyes on the stair.
That's the reason. I want to know if you could help me say glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason.
You're the reason why I sing.
Come on, say glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. You're the reason.
You're the reason why I sing.
Can we say it again? Someone asked.
Someone asked the question.
Oh, glory. Why do we sing?
Why do we sing?
When we lift our hands.
When we lift our hands to Jesus.
Oh, what do we really mean?
What do we really mean?
Someone may be wondering.
Someone may be wondering.
When we sing our song.
When we sing our song.
At times we may.
At times we may be crying.
And nothing's even
and
wrong.
Nothing's wrong.
This is the reason why I sing because
I sing because of that.
I sing because oh, I don't know why he does it, but his eyes on get a witness in here. Glory!
Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason, Jesus.
You're the reason why I
know I'm right about it. I just want to say glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
I give the praises to you.
I give the praises to you.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason why.
You're the reason why I
listen.
Sing.
And when the song is over, we've all said amen.
We've all said amen.
And your heart just keep on singing.
And your heart just keep on singing.
And the song will never
end. And the song will never end.
Listen. And if somebody asked you.
And if somebody asked you.
Was it just a show?
Was it just a show?
Lift your hands and be a witness.
Lift your hands and be a witness.
And tell the whole world no.
And tell the whole world.
Listen. And when we cross that river,
and when we cross that river,
to study war no more,
to study war no more,
we will sing.
We will sing our song to Jesus,
the one whom we adore.
The one whom we adore.
Come on, family, let's take it home. I sing because
I sing because
I sing because.
I sing
Jesus, I want to say glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
Oh, you're the reason, Lord. You're the reason.
You're the reason why I sing.
Can I say it again? Glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
I give the praises to you.
I give the praises.
Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you. You're the reason why I sing.
You're the reason why I sing.
You're the reason why I sing. You're my melody at midnight, Jesus. You're my song in my storm, Jesus. You're the hymn in my heart, Jesus.
You're the reason why.
Oh, I love you. I love your name, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. For the rest of my life, Jesus, you'll be the reason why I sing.
And the lies, the past you're afraid. afraid I might say. You've been running away from me. Yeah, now you're my blinded lover, I'm yours. Death shall not part us, and you I die.
Jim, lad, and matey, we can stop your foreclosure now. We're a mortgage rescue company, and for the small fee of everything you hold dear, we will negotiate with your lender on your behalf, and we guarantee results.
Guarantee results?
Aye, the bird speaks the truth. Them's be the benefits of working with a true professional. So don't dilly-dally about. Listen to the wise counsel of your old pal, Honest Jim.
He can't be trusted.
Call Jim, Lad, and Matey at 1-800-YAR-YAR. That's 1-800-YAR-YAR-YAR.
If you're facing foreclosure, make sure you're talking to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned, especially when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us focus more specifically on verses 22 and 24. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. With this in mind, the title of the message this day, as we continue our journey, stepping into the supernatural, is simply this: permission to change. Permission to change. When I was a child, I used to love going to the dry cleaners with my father. He had friends that owned a cleaning place up in Torrington called Santoro's Cleaning. And there was something that just seemed magical to me about that dry cleaning place. It was the way in which that belt would cause the diversity of clothes to sort of float around in front of you, and you would see them all laid out as they're looking to get your numbered items that were neatly wrapped in plastic. Eventually, Mrs. Santoro would find your item and pull it off the rack, and there would be your new, fresh, clean clothes. Well, not long ago, the Lord sent me a dream of God's cleaners. Similar to the setup in Santoro's, the items hanging on the rack in this dream that the Lord sent me were different. It wasn't just about clothes in the physical sense that we're used to. In the dream, God showed me clothes which were sort of carcasses of humans, human flesh hanging on a rack. Except it wasn't like dead people, it was just like empty shells. And the Lord said to me, I want you to pay attention to this and bring this to my people. For this is God's cleaners, and this is the entire human family. And see, the way it worked in God's cleaners was God showed me that there were the souls that were lined up on this side, all the souls, and then all the shells. And so God was making a match one by one. So a soul would be put in a shell, a soul in a shell. So the soul was the identity of the person, and the shell would be that outside covering. All shades, all shapes, all colors, all genders, all type of humanity. Imagine your soul lined up and you just get sort of what appears to be a random carcass. And so then what happens in your life? The Lord was showing me that this human flesh was assigned to human souls. And the Lord said, tell my people, they are overly attached to the outside shell of themselves. Tell my people that they're overly attached to the outside shell of themselves. My people think that all they are is the outside shell. But their appearance is not who they are. It is just the shell that covers their soul. Who they are is the soul itself. They are far more than the shell. But sadly, many of our people attach themselves to the story of their shell. Where you come from, what you look like, what your culture is, who you think you are based on how you look, your status, your economics, and even your political party is all attached to this outward shell. The Lord said, tell my children to pay more attention to their souls. For within the soul is the potential of perfect love. Within the soul is your potential for divinity and peace and joy. Let my children know that I sent them to earth with perfect souls. Let my children know that I sent them to earth as perfect in whatever form they came in. Each of us were sent to earth with a purpose. But because of sin and judgments in the world, we get the impression that we are what we appear to be, but that is not all we are. Yes. We each have permission to change. Who you are is not the appearance of you. Who you are is your soul inside that appearance. But the Lord wants us all to know through God's cleaners, we all have permission to change. So the Lord sent me by here with a question for you to ponder. What might happen if you gave yourself full permission to change? That your focus was not about changing your outer garment, but your inward soul. Everyone sets intentions to change the outer garment. We make up our mind, okay, this is it, the new year. I'm going to change my body. I'm going to the gym. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to change my outside shell. This is it. I'm going to change my outside shell. I'm going to get me some new hair, shake it out, put it on my head. I'm going to have a new look about me. I'm going to change. Oh, I'm going to change. I'm going to dye my hair so that way I don't show exactly what time or space I'm in. I'm going to change the outside shell. But God is saying, what if we set the intention to actually change the inside instead of being so focused on the outside change? Yeah, we say it. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lotion up. I might even have surgery and change my outside appearance. But really in this life, our outside appearance gets corrupted by what's going on here in the earthly realm. Our outside appearance gets worn down by the wear and tear of life here on earth. We are perfect in the sight of God as souls, and yet we pay so much attention to that outside carcass. We humans focus a lot on our flesh, and we limit ourselves that way. So what difference would it make to your soul if your outside flesh changed? How might you be different if suddenly you got different flesh? Would you change, or would you be the same? Things that make you go like if you were to just suddenly leave church today at Redeemer's and go home with blonde hair and blue eyes, what difference might that make in your life? Things that make you go, things that make you just think about this flesh and our attachment to it. So there is a new part of us that's fully waiting for us to change. And we have an opportunity and permission to change that inward soul. So take a look at our text once again, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what formed your flesh for life? What formed your flesh? Because that is not all you are, but what formed your flesh for life? Your parents? Your community? Your culture? Your experiences? And your pains? And this flesh might have served you well, but it might have also given you some experiences that show in that flesh through what happened in your formative years. For many of us, we might have been maimed in the flesh by some of the things that happened to us in life. And now we start to think that that flesh is who we are. In 2 Samuel chapter 4, this verse 4, we have the story of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was 5 years old when his father and grandfather, King Saul, and his son Jonathan were killed. Mephibosheth's nurse, when she found out the news that Jonathan and Saul were dead, the nurse jumped up and was running to get out of that place, and she grabbed Mephibosheth, because she was taking care of him, and by accident, she dropped him. Dropped Mephibosheth, and from that point on, he had a limp for the rest of his life. So the question is, what happened to you? Did somebody drop you out of your crib? Just saying. Did you take on the identity of what has happened to you in life? What happened to you that is not your soul identity, but is indeed your flesh? But your flesh is not fully who you are. So no matter who we are, we go through things in our formation, and that's why none of us are perfect. But we become attached to the story of what happened to us, and we fall into this idea of the need for medication because something happened to us, to our flesh in life. Well, somebody dropped me out of my crib, so now I need some medication. Somebody dropped me, and now because I have been hurt, I need some medication. I'm going to have to drink now because they dropped me out of my crib. I'm going to need me some crack because somebody dropped me out of my crib. I'm going to need to shop because somebody dropped me out of my crib. But in reality, who we are is not that flesh that got wounded, but it's the one that's inside. But see, it means that these deceitful desires show up in life, and we start to focus on the need for those things instead of focusing more on God in our lives. We think we have to have our deceitful desires in order for things to be better. If I have this or that, things will get better. If I go here or there, things will get better. If I become this or that, things will get better. But it's a trick of life because the pain is still there in the flesh. And these deceitful desires keep showing up. And don't you know they're counterfeit? Yes. So think about it. In your life as grown folks, have you ever accepted a counterfeit solution to your pain?
No.
Well, you know, if I just get with so-and-so, I'm going to feel more better all the time. You know it was a counterfeit. It really was not an answer to the pain. Think of the things in the world that you think will please you and make you happy. But the world does not really have a solution for you. It only has more lies through these deceitful desires. So have you ever been lied to? Did you think that the thing that was shiny and bright was going to be the cure? And have you ever been distracted by those things? See, this world is full of counterfeits. For people in the church and outside the church, all of us have been fooled at some point in time in our lives. Think about it. You thought something was going to be it, and you got sucked in, and that was not it. Help me, somebody. Make it plain, the lover who looks so good, the drug that tasted so good, the sin that feels so good, the con artist who talked so good. At first, it was the initial hit, and the next thing you know, you can't let that thing go. And one of the best examples of this is crack cocaine. Most people will tell you they took that first hit, and then for the rest of their life, they're looking for that high all over again to replace the pain, but it never fully comes. The solution never comes. So have you been caught up, stuck in something that was consuming your flesh? You think it's an answer, but it only opens the door to more problems. So the good news is, the Lord sent me by here to let you know you have permission to change. You don't have to be attached to those things anymore. If you want a new life, if you want to change, change begins with your attitude. In psychology, an attitude refers to a set of emotions or beliefs or behaviors towards a particular object, person, thing, or event. attitudes are often the result of experiences or upbringing, and they can have a powerful influence over your whole life. So think about it. Do you have a positive attitude most of the time or a negative attitude? The choice is yours, but you have to take your own inventory. Are you a positive attitude person or a negative attitude person? Whatever you decide on, you chose that because you thought it was working for you, but is it really working for you? So the question is, how can we change the attitudes in our life? First of all, we've got to give ourselves permission to change. You don't have to live your whole life with a bad attitude.
Amen.
Think about it. Even though our bad attitude can be comfortable, like a really ugly, comfortable pair of shoes. I got these pair of clogs. They're the ugliest things going, covered with paint, run over, worn out. They are ugly, homeless shoes that I wear around the house. I really shouldn't leave the house in those clogs, and I can't quite throw them away. You know why? They're comfortable. And for some of us, our attitudes are like that. Very ugly. We shouldn't leave the house with it on. But sometimes we do because it's comfortable. So even though we have these attitudes, we have permission to change in five simple ways. First of all, admit to yourself that your negative attitude may not be working. It may not actually be working. So first of all, you've got to admit that maybe I need to change my attitude. Second, realize that pessimism and optimism is a choice. You choose for yourself how you're going to take the situation and the circumstance. Point two. Next, point three, change your language. Think about what you're saying in the atmosphere. Are you speaking with positivity or negativity most of the time? You know your sour friends. It could be a sunny day and they're like, it's too much sun out. It's on my head. But it's a sunny day. It could be a cold day. They're like, ooh, it's just too cold out here. It could be a rainy day. I can't stand no rain. It could be a windy day. I can't take the wind. So you got to decide what is going to be your attitude on a day-by-day basis and change the language. Find something good to say, even though you could find something negative to say more easily. Number four, hang out with friends who have happy attitudes. You know, if you hang out with your sour friends, you can get more sour. Have you ever noticed that? You could be in a good mood and you hang around with your negative friends. Y'all getting that pot? Next thing you know, you're ready to jump off a cliff. Those friends will help stir the pot and make you feel even more hopeless about your life. And point number five, if you want to change your attitude and your point of view, encourage yourself by faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The more words you get in you, the more you build up your faith and the more you're able to change your attitude. It is as if the attitude is the pathway to your soul. Your attitude is not based on your flesh, what you feel like. Your attitude is actually supernatural. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 13, Philippians chapter 4, 11 through 13, it says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And see, our attitude comes about based on that faith that comes in to our life. So you can build up your faith and start to shift that attitude and start to change. So take a look at the text once again, because God wants to shift your attitude and give you a new life by faith. Will you let him? Will you give yourself permission to change? Verse 23 and 24, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in Christ Jesus. Your soul was made to be like God, and we come back to that through Christ Jesus. So God has a new garment for you today. Step into the supernatural and shift your attitude. You can shift your view of life, and that will change your life. We're told that the average person lives 75 years. The rest is grace. So if the average person lives 75 years, that's 27,375 days. By the time you get to 50, you have about 9,125 days left. At 65, you've got 3,650 days left. So why not work on the attitude and make your days count? Make the most of your days. Make the most of your life. Give yourself permission to change. Let the old go. Embrace the new. Claim your new attitude through giving yourself permission to change through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches.
Packers.
Vikings.
Red State.
Blue State.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But no matter how different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities, the building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live united.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live united.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won, and I am redeemed, you set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame and regret, but when I hear you whisper to
child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. Oh God,
brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, you won't be the so you tell me, you've been to your physician. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind. Your body and your soul, oh, yes, there is. Hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yes.
He can heal.
And he can mend a broken
man. He can mend your brokenness.
About the situation, but with every test and every trial, there is revelation that God is able promised me, said he would.
God can heal.
Yes, he can.
He can heal.
Oh, you can deliver, Lord. This building, my prayer for everyone in here is that you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to feed your needs, go tell the mended my
square feet. What would you do with that kind of possibility? Would you strategize your future? Or get lost in the past? Will you fill it with stories? Or use it to empty your mind? Would you explore your spirituality? Or focus on improving your community? Will you use it to work late? Or just work it? Could you create lasting impressions? Or a brief, delicious one? Our vision for the 224? 30,000 square feet of endless possibilities.
You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace. Reach out to us and tell us what you think. Look for Rich Answers, the Conference of Churches, and me, Reverend Dr. Shelley Bess, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Like us, follow us, share us.